At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the pod, everybody. We've got some corruption to talk about today, and I'm going to switch up the order.
And I'm here too, guys.
And he. So let's do established titles. Okay, so we had Spencer Cornelia on the pod. You were here.
Yep.
We may or may not put this one up before it, but it was an interesting conversation about the ethics of influencer promoting as related to FTX. In that conversation, Spencer mentions established titles. I'm not totally familiar with it. I don't say anything. But it was in my head.
Right.
3 days later, a video comes out that is biggest scam on YouTube, established titles from a small creator. We see it at 10K views.
Yep.
2 days later, I take a look at it. It's at 1 million views. It's been watched a lot. And Spencer is in there as well. And so
Spencer is the sole person mentioned in it.
There was a couple other people mentioned in the title.
Okay. Yeah.
But he was specifically called out, and I wanted to break it down. I investigated a little bit further and talk about what I think is the most interesting piece is not who's good, who's bad, but what is going on at a meta level of human psychology here. So, context. Established Titles is a YouTube sponsor. They sell, and this is, I think literally what they sell, is a piece of paper that says, Lord, your name.
Yes.
The marketing around it is fuzzy, and it's also fuzzy because they have their marketing on their website, the talking points that they give to YouTubers, and what YouTubers wind up actually saying, which are all a little bit different. But their website has this air of legitimacy. It's called Established Titles. You get the idea that, very clearly, like, become a lord or lady.
Today.
And while it is obvious that you are not going to walk around with necklaces and claims to huge plots of land, it seems at first blush that you get a dedicated plot of land in Scotland. They say the word dedicated. And the impression is that you're an owner of like an area this big in Scotland.
Seems like a loophole in the Scotland.
Yeah. And it's like, and I get to call myself a lord or a lady as a result of this.
Yes.
So it's certainly even in that understanding, I don't think anybody's going to Scotland and demanding their rights.
Right.
Like, everybody gets that. They also say that they'll plant a tree, which I think is reasonable to infer that, oh, probably in Scotland, because, like, you guys are interacting with Scotland.
They say we own a plot of land in Scotland, and we're going to preserve.
They use dedicated. And so they're fuzzy. And what actually is going on with established titles is, it appears, that They have dedicated plots of land, which is you do not own it, but it is preserved from, I don't know, like the thing that you would do with the rainforest where you say this section of land is safe.
Yes.
That's a charity that you can donate to, which they build like tree walls in the Amazon that makes it harder for loggers to get in. And so we can preserve more of the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You don't own anything. And the Lord title is not something that they have really anything to do with at all. There's a custom in Scotland of land ownership being related to Lord, but you don't own land. Nothing is going on in Scotland. And some jurisdictions will just literally let you write Lord on certain identifications. Not a driver's license or a passport,
right?
But whatever other identification.
Yep.
So there's a lot of fuzziness around what this is, but it seems totally fair to say that they are taking steps to mislead people as to what they are getting, mm-hmm. which is some sort of weird loophole that you get to call yourself a lord, and then they send you a plaque. So Scott Schaefer makes this video calling that out, investigating some of the people behind it, and I reached out to Spencer because we had a whole conversation about the ethics of promoting FTX and other things, and just for the context, he'll make his own video and say whatever he wants to say. But he did say he's likely, I don't want to promise because it's his decision to cut ties with them. He explained his perception was that it was a gag gift. I told him that I was like, I understand what you're saying. I think that people reasonably inferred that they were getting something more than was being delivered in this. And, you know, I said, it's my recommendation to you that you acknowledge your role in perpetuating that misunderstanding and that you received money for it, and talk about it in whatever way is honest to you. So that was our conversation. But what I think is most interesting about all of this is the Spencer and other people, and this is not meant to be a negative on Spencer, but I'm using him as an example, is that he looks for corruption and scam professionally. Like that's
yes, people who mislead, use words,
and he's
cover up,
mm-hmm, and he's very good at it. He he digs in, he reads the lawsuit, he goes to the terms and conditions, he goes into people's things. And when I spoke to him, he said, "Yeah, I didn't, you know, this particular one, I thought it was a gag gift. I didn't dig in deep." And what I said to him was like, "Imagine if instead of paying you to promote this, I said make a video. I'll give you $2K to tell me why Established Titles is full of shit. You could have come up with a 10-minute video. I know you could have." And he was very receptive to this. And this is not about him. I think this is true of everybody, myself included. Man, money fucking corrupts.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead.
I got an offer for Established Titles, and it was looking good for my YouTube channel. I'm like, yeah, it's a gag gift. They're throwing money around.
I told you not to do that, didn't I?
Yes. You told me not to. And then I said, well, NordVPN. You're like, you have no reason to do NordVPN. I said, I'm into personal privacy, Charlie. So much so.
Yes. Well, so let me just also give some context, because I totally Spencer, which I told him this is not going to play well from a PR perspective, but like he's in a $190,000 lawsuit for, I think, talking very honestly about another influencer.
Yes.
He's in difficult financial straits for like revealing the truth of exploitation and fake shit that's going on out there. That doesn't justify, but like it allows me to empathize with the perception of like these people are offering me money. I'm not going to turn a blind eye. I'm going to just squint or like not put the effort in that I might otherwise put in. And I think it's a really wonderful learning lesson, but that thing, you mentioned NordVPN, like even the way that I have seen these VPNs be talked about, like they're these trustworthy.
Give your information to the VPN, Charlie. You can trust them.
Yes. And I haven't investigated it. And the reason I haven't allowed them to be on the channels because I don't want to really investigate them. But my impression is VPNs have really good use cases, which is like I'm at Starbucks. I want to watch Netflix in a different country.
Yep.
I have a VA that needs to log in on my account and not flag two-factor authentication. Like there's value to VPNs.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But the idea that your details are safe, I think is probably not something that the people who claim that have deeply looked into or can really say, like I would not be shocked if there was a scandal that these VPNs had backdoors to the NSA.
Yes.
It wouldn't blow, I'm not saying they do, but I don't think people are really looking.
Yeah, it seems par for the course that the VPN would just sell your information in another form.
And they may not. Yes. You know, another one that came out, there was this, I'll get to that later. But yeah, just this general idea that I think it's so easy for us and others to, one, see other people who, when they're receiving money to work at Altria, which is Philip Morris, and sell jewels and cigarettes to kids, and how this doesn't count. Like the motivated reasoning that kicks in instantaneously, irrevocably, when it comes to your money, especially when you feel that you need it deeply, like when your survival is at all threatened, the capacity of people to just turn off the critical thinking that exists in other areas of their life is shocking. And it exists in me, and I don't want to pretend that it doesn't.
I nearly established titles is looking good, baby. Become a lord or lady today.
Yeah. And I think also, to be clear, just for you, if you were to say Established Titles is sponsoring this video, they give out fake lordships. They, you know, if, yeah. Like you, if you were to just own what it is, I don't think that there's a problem with selling gag gifts or pet rocks or name a star, but you're not really naming a star according to any international agency.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Nothing is going on. They sell you paper. Like, the pet rock sells you a rock. Yeah. But, like, Gucci sells you status. You know, all of these amorphous things that if they change your state, it's really what you're buying, except if you're unclear and you are deceptive about what is going on.
Right.
So if you say this is fake, you can call yourself a lord if you want, but I'm going to send you a plaque.
Yeah, yeah. And then dad's you're happy.
You're fine. So... yeah, it was interesting to talk to him. I appreciated his receptivity. I don't know ultimately what he's going to decide. I also think that I can see the perspective of, like, which I don't support, but there's such fuzziness in this established titles thing. Like, right here, they do say that it's a gag gift, but it's in the middle of the page, not big.
Yes.
Like, and there's, the business is built, I think, and certainly receives a solid amount of its income from people who misunderstand what they are buying.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
They advertise heavily with someone who's going to put a 60-second placement in the video of someone you trust says, become a lord or lady today. Mm-hmm. They don't say it's Souvenir Land. It's not actually established titles.
Well, they do in their, and I got one of the people posted allegedly what they tell you to read, and they're very careful in their ad reads to instruct you, do not use this word. Do not use this word. But are they following up and making sure that the YouTubers never do that? Are they happy to wash their hands of that? So it seems like a lot of cover your ass. For like what at its core is, I'm okay with people being, if people are misled, as long as they give me money, that's a type of error that I'm okay with. Seems to be consistent.
I think this is a good time for our sponsor of today's video.
But yeah, so one, things that I wanted to highlight. One, it's a the protection of yourself for money, which codes for survival, is a cognitive bias that is like an optical illusion, which is, even if you know to anticipate it, you can't stop it. It's going to happen. The only thing that you can do is to build a system, which can be other people. It can be feedback mechanisms that allow you to correct for it, because you will, when you feel that you need something, convince yourself that it is moral justified, the exception to the rule, or just that you don't need to look that heavily on it. And this is not an indictment of any individual. I know this occurs in my own life as well. The other thing is that I actually think some of the comments were totally, totally reasonable, but there also needs to be what Spencer and I talked about. But when you are calling out fake gurus or things that you think are scams or things that I think you want to leave space for that individual to not feel completely canceled, excluded, and relegated to, like, outside the fold, because if there's no road to redemption, then I think that's how you fall into, like,
a victim of your own creation. Well, like, he's...
Well, then you can dig in, and now you've dug your heels in because people are saying that you're a monster. You know, instead of saying this was a piece of behavior that was not something you ought to continue doing, when the feeling is you're wrong, you're a monster, you're irredeemable, which can sometimes be literally communicated in what people say to one another, that does not encourage the recognition that, you know what, I fell victim to that particular cognitive bias. This is my bad. I'm sorry if I've damaged people. Let me take steps that I can to make up for it. And to move back into this fold with a, like, okay, I'm going to look at sponsors more thoroughly. I'm going to have a whole new system around catching this particular bias in my own life.
Right.
And I actually don't think the video that was made was overly aggressive. Some of the titles certainly are, but again, this is the YouTube game of sensationalism to get the click.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got us.
There just needs to be a route to redemption and repair for people, or else people will dig in their heels, and I think you will get a lot more of like people that then just go into this section of the internet where it's just like selling Alex Jones type supplements because there's no way back into the graces of society.
Right.
Anything you wanted to add?
No, I'm trying to think of an example of someone who's just dug in so deep that they are just willing to go down with the ship.
I definitely could think of examples, but I don't think that it's, I don't know that the ethics of just like, because I don't know for certain, but I think of YouTube creators that I'm immediately come to mind.
Oh,
for that. So yeah, not trying to. It's not about the individual, is I don't think the point. It's about the bias that exists in all of us, myself included. This is another thing that I've had to realize is like somebody reached out to me after the podcast. I thank them. They said, "Hey, I've got these wealth advisors. They've done very well for me." Mm. Looked at. I said, "Oh, send me the portfolio. It had Altria in it, which
and
is
Altria is
they sell cigarettes and now they sell vapes to kids." And it's just like, oh, cool. Like I can close my eyes, make money off the back of giving lung cancer to kids.
It's fruity flavored.
Yeah. And well, they haven't proven it yet. And the studies don't totally show. And it's, you know, popcorn. And it's I don't think that that is a bad individual. I don't think anything like that. But I think that the temptation to, when you're making money, do things that you would not approve of, which is like literally get paid when more cigarette, when you beat earnings for selling cigarettes.
Right.
Is like these people would never want to create that business. They'd never want to do it, but they're happy to own it if they can feel at enough distance from it and reap reward.
Yeah.
And the higher the reward and the more distance, the more you can get people to participate in systems that they that would be antithetical to their stated values, I think. So yeah, the other thing that I was thinking is the amount of scrutiny. Like, so a lot of people have done established titles. The people that are going to receive the least backlash are like the comedians, the people that just throw it on the end of a sketch comedy thing and, you know, established titles, they're whatever. Spencer and people that are in a position of giving, of being truth tellers,
discerners of information,
are going to receive the most backlash, which actually creates this interesting incentive structure, which I have felt, which is you don't want to call out scams that you see out there. Because when you cast that stone, you open yourself up to all receiving all of that back. Yep. And I don't have a good solution, but it's like being the person, the CoffeeZilla, the Spencer Cornelia, who I think at times have done like really good investigative work and probably saved people a lot of money and heartache.
Right.
It's not a very, I don't want to say thankless, but it's, there's a lot of things that aren't great about that position in terms of the ratcheted up increased scrutiny, the lawsuits that get thrown on you. And I think it dissuades what would ideally be, like you'd like a world where people were more comfortable calling one another out in more gentle ways. Like there's a lot of people out there whose internet marketing stuff I can think of. And if I could gently publicly say things that would get them a gentle pushback that would create change without damning them, I'd feel much more comfortable doing that. Also, that wouldn't immediately get reflected upon me and have a bunch of internet sleuths looking through every text message I ever sent, looking for anything that would tarnish me publicly or be received poorly. It's just, it's not an ideal incentive structure. And I am thankful for the people, the CoffeeZillas, the Spencers, who do that work of calling other people out.
Yeah.
And the one thing I did say to Spencer is like, I wonder if this will make you be more thoughtful about the conversation. Like when you make a video about someone, and he said, yeah, like there's been times where like I've reached out to people for comment, but maybe haven't given them enough time. Or he said, I definitely, having been on another side of this, want to do differently going forward.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting.
Interesting.
I said, yeah, so I think there could be a lot of beautiful healing from as a result of this.
Well, I love that you called him. We talked a little bit about, because we saw the video and wanted to mention it today, and you're like, yeah, I need to call Spencer, see how, before just perpetuating the, like, call-out cycle, you're like, let me call Spencer first.
Yeah, and I felt tension because I was like, I actually went to, I won't talk about it because I don't want to be mean, and I think there's a healthier, loving way, which I tried to find, which is, I see and empathize with why you did this. I think it's also reasonable for you to apologize for this, though I can't tell you to. I think you have to find that if you feel that inside yourself. And I think that you probably should cut ties, unless there's other information that I haven't learned, but that would be my recommendation to you. And he was receptive to that feedback, which I appreciated. But yeah, it's funny. For me, the challenge is there's this, like, I won't say anything, I'll slam this person.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's this middle ground of, like, I will lovingly correct a behavior and try to empathize with you while hanging on to the, like, you shouldn't. I feel that there's like a some sort of moral imperative around here, which I'm not even totally fixed on. I haven't investigated deeply enough, but I said my impression is watching that one video, looking at their website and having heard a little bit about it, that you would probably, it's probably the right thing to do to at least investigate, if not cut ties with them.
Yeah. Love that you did that. I also think there's that third option that often occurs in my life more often, is the not do anything or say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You got the two, you've drawn the line at the two of them. And then in order to stay comfortable or not cause any conflict.
Yeah.
Just not talk about it on today's podcast or I think a lot of Spencer or any of it.
A lot of people do this. The one that comes to mind is when they like know that somebody's cheating on someone.
Yeah.
And they just won't say anything.
Yeah. Why cause that conflict? Is it for them to say?
Well, they could go to either party. They could go to the person who is doing the cheating and they could say, I love you, but this is
wrong.
You know, or they could go to the other person after that and say, I know I don't know you that as well as maybe this other person, but like you are being wronged in this way. It is not a fun position. It you know, and I think myself and a lot of people, probably most people in the world, choose to just wash their hands of these sorts of interactions. And I think, yeah, that's not ideal. But I totally get why.
Wash the hands, baby.
So, I think there could be a lot of improvement around types of call outs. I am sorting through it myself. I think ultimately that a lot of good will come of this. I think that a lot of people will be more cautious about the sponsors that they bring on. I have seen a willingness to receive some of these content creators who have acknowledged that, like, I didn't look into this that much, that there's a willingness to be like, thank you, which is nice to see out there, at least, you know, as evidenced by some of the comments. Going deeper into a not less forgivable, but like more definitive scam.
Yes. Let's just read the headline, man.
The FTC headline is scathing. I don't have it with me right now, but it's about Kevin David. So Kevin David, for those of you who don't know, is a YouTube creator. Many years ago, he was all over the ads side of things. I don't know if he hasn't in a while. He's been in a lawsuit.
Maybe I can show them right now because I have them saved.
You know what's funny?
So this is the time for some awesome B-roll.
We have saved scam ads for years.
Because
secretly, you and I seethe at this shit.
Yes.
And haven't publicly, because of everything I just talked about, or privately, because I don't know these people,
right,
said something, but have just, I don't know, been waiting for the government to like call us up. We're like, yeah, he deleted the ad, but we downloaded it.
I've got the backlink. It's unlisted.
You've got an entire Google Doc.
Unlisted videos, I'll try to play them right now.
Yeah.
But
I've done this before where I have literally and even screen captured videos, because I'm like, he's going to take this down.
Yes.
Because I know that he's going to lie about this in the future. He's going to say that he doesn't run discounts. Here's a discount. I caught you, you know.
I'm going to go to their other site where the timer resets, knowing that the timer is actually not real.
Yes. For a video that I never made to share just with my friends for all of the reasons that I just said.
Yep.
But finally, the wheels of justice, and maybe I should have said something earlier. I don't know. Maybe there's moral culpability or even just it would have been a moral virtue to have taken a stand. Kevin David offers these Amazon courses on how to make money. The highest level is $100,000 done for you. I will build you a store and give you money. And the reason I need you, and I don't just do this myself, because if you can turn $100,000 into more than $100,000, don't tell anyone and do it over and over. But the reason that I tell you is for some stupid thing that is not true.
Yep.
So the FTC investigates because there's a class action suit. He is... judgment just filed against him for nearly 52 point something million dollars, of which he is expected to pay only $2.6 million due to what they say is lack of ability. He may be hiding money. If he is and they discover that, he's on the hook for the whole $53
million. Yes.
So it was nice to see the wheels of justice turn slowly.
Well, a few things come to mind is like how big you have to be to finally get the FTC to move in and how many people have been burned to
you
get
have
a
to
clause.
Screw so many people.
$50 million worth of people have to be screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, if you're operating at the 10 million cost and only screwing people there,
yeah,
can't get it to stop. And you just got me and you saving their YouTube ads. But yeah, it's been a process. He's been started way back when with Facebook ads. And like now today, done for you business. And finally, yeah, enough. And I'm getting mixed up with the cast we did previously, but speak to some of the like tactics he was doing to try to manage everyone's like negative feedback.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit, but there was he was busted for fake income statements, which were caught because he was missing a comma in Amazon when they print, you know, $40,000, they don't miss a comma. That's a automated program, but when you type it in to Photoshop, you can easily skip a comma.
Yeah.
He was also, CoffeeZilla made a video where he, I forget if it was Coffee or Spencer, but accused him of plagiarism pretty convincingly, and I'd seen him lift thumbnails and stuff, which I have more space for, like thumbnails and,
right,
and titles. I'm not as upset. Content, on the other hand, is that's not okay. And then they got cease and desist, and I don't know if it culminated in a lawsuit, but it was just like, he made it very not worth it. He also sued customers that would speak bad
this
about
him. This is kind of what I was getting at. The Better Business Bureau and the customers' feedback, which he doctored.
Yeah, and he literally threatened and sued people who exposed what was actually going on, which is he was making ridiculous promises that he wasn't backing up, and people were reliably, it was a machine that ripped people off and moved money from them to him. And then he plots a lot of that money back into ads to continue to do it. And yeah, I'm glad that that's been stopped. And it was interesting to read such a direct statement from the FTC around phony, you know, get rich quick scheme. It was felt vindicated.
Yes.
But also, yeah, this question of like, shit, should I have used my platform, completely unrelated, to have said something about this before? And I feel this right now. There's people that I could talk about. It's like, I will get sued. I will have a lawsuit.
I might get sued for saying this, but we have to talk.
Do I want to be in the position that Spencer's in $190,000 later, not even
close to being done?
The cost of these people make the cost of I don't want to say telling the truth, but of sharing dissent with their, what they're saying, so high that they effectively dissuade it amongst rational people. And you need these vigilante, irrational
people to just get in there. Just, like, I have nothing to lose. Sue me.
To do it. So that was just another interesting thing that went down this week. Is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Nope. Hopefully I can play some B-roll of my OG days. I've been saving this doc, man. At least I could just show you the doc.
Yeah. Well, again, my brain immediately goes to, like, careful, because that's copyright, and you know he seems comfortable, or was comfortable. He was litigious before. I don't know if he is anymore, so we'll see.
Great word.
So yeah, other things, totally random switches. So for the podcast and other stuff, I just wanted to, I'm calling myself out and trying to remain centered. I've been focused on a lot of different things. I have not been an essentialist. I have been a little bit over here, a little bit over there. I've had social media. We shared a post. And I'm wading into the very risky waters of trying to have Instagram add value to my life net, which I think is near impossible.
As a consumer, I would agree.
Yes, I think it's near impossible to like engage with Instagram and have it add value to your life. But one of the things that I'm trying to do is for the podcast is between text messages and other things, it's not just Instagram. I'm texting more, connecting with people that I might not have spoken to as much. My phone is consuming more of my attention, and it'll be interesting to see, because I do feel at the end of my day so much more frazzled. I'll have talked to a bunch of people, some of whom I haven't spoken to in a long time, to invite them on the podcast, but then they'll say three other things, and now we're texting back and forth. And I realized that my way of dealing with my inability to win against big tech, like I can't win. I see you confused.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. It seems like the thing is the reactivity that you have to operating in big tech.
When I open my computer and a Discord thing pops and a thing, and now I'm over here and there was something I was going to do, they beat me 999 times out of 1,000 and one in 1,000, I go, no.
Yeah,
and the way that I've handled that is like elimination. I'm shut this down, delete this, don't have this notification. So I'm trying to have a more subtle engagement with these things that, you know, I'm using do not disturb on my phone and trying to create routines so that I can enter into this admittedly dangerous world of Instagram and interact with people, send messages, you know, like a photo, like to have more social media, loose connection acquaintances for the podcast, you know, to have other people come on, people that I like, but if I'm not on social media, I don't remember. I remember the six people that I see every day.
Right.
And also to build that other habit, which some people have innately. I spoke to Chris Williamson of Modern Wisdom, of just like random texts. And I asked him, do you have a system? Like, you send me random texts. And we spoke once. And he's like, no.
he just thinks of it and sends it.
I mentioned
it.
You. And then I, you know, he said, when I think of people, I try to send him. But I was like, but yeah, then that pulls you into your phone because now I'm texting you back because I'm happy to receive. And I think that's something that I'm working on dealing with, and I'm going to keep people posted on how I manage it.
Navigate. Yeah, the social media pool, the YouTube pool.
Mm-hmm.
So friends out there, message Charlie, send your DMs, your likes.
Your likes. Your
he DMs. Loves kitty videos.
Yes, I love all of it. So let me see what else I've got here. So this was interesting. I spoke to Chris.
Chris who?
Chris Williamson of Modern Wisdom, had a good chat with him about a number of things. I met him through Ali Abdaal on YouTube, and I sang no, or was at the time, to everything. That was my essentialist way. I was just like, no, 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 no. Don't care who you are, no. Like, I literally wouldn't let requests reach me because of how easily distracted I was and my proclivity to say yes.
Yes.
So I just built that system in, and I was speaking to him, and he got me on the podcast like lickety-split. He's like, how about tomorrow? And all of a sudden, I was on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I realized at the time what he did. He's a very good conversationalist, but he assumed the sale. And he was just like, what times are good for you? And so when he was giving me feedback about my outreach to other people, my outreach to them is very, would there be a time? Would you like to? Like, I know that you're busy. Like, it was just very...
I'm a huge fan.
Yes, it was. I wanted to tell these people, like, you know, the creator of Arcane, I'm a massive fan. I want to like fanboy, and he recommended not doing that.
Right.
He showed me his, I know that his way has a higher hit rate than mine does. It succeeds more, and he says, look, when people there's an underlying thing that is going. One, you don't have all of this person's attention, but there's a status thing that is going on, which is people, when they don't have a lot of attention, still have their reptile brain, which detects status. It still lives inside of them. And so when your email has too many, like, it needs to be personal. They need to know that this isn't a blast email. But if it establishes them up here, you're here. That's the only way that they can be so high.
Yes.
Is for you to be beneath, unless you're fucking Justin Bieber, and then you can say whatever you want.
Yes. And they're scanning it very quickly to go, is this person of value? Unfortunately, this is, I can understand how this works. Sending, I'm such a big fan of your channel, to someone who has, I don't know, less than 1,000 subscribers means a lot. I've gotten one of those messages. I was ready to talk to that person for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I love Arcane, I'm such a fan of your work, get in line with the other millions of people.
Yeah.
He immediately buckets you, or she buckets you in unfortunately, another bucket. Yeah.
So it's interesting for me to wrestle with that because I have this proclivity to
tell more of the truth.
I love Arcane.
Yeah.
I want you to come on. And the other thing he said, interesting, is he said, I do not tell people what I plan to talk about, because that, one, maybe they see you list three things and they go, I don't want to talk about one of those topics. And like the no overrides all of the yeses that might be in there. But also just I think goes back to that status thing, which is like, you're coming on the show, we're going to have a conversation. It's like equals. I'm not going to prep you on questions.
Interesting. Like, so much of what you don't say too is communicated.
And so that was, his emails were shorter than mine. And of course, he, at this point,
his email is way better, which is like, I've had 500 New York Times bestselling artists or authors on, you know, so his email now is just different than mine.
Right.
But yeah, that was something that I'm wrestling with, which is status, but also the fact that I just want to tell this guy I love Arcane. Please come on.
We're not letting him get away, dude.
We're not letting
him. Don't change up for this
there
guy.
There is another way, which is I think you can go in like the true fan and remain engaged with people over a long period of time. That can work as well, because I've also gotten on the phone with people that have... Yeah, there's a Goldilocks level of, I really like what you did, and I am a person of status. Honestly, it comes through value, status, can offer. You know, those are the types of things that get that quick reptile brain moving. So that was an interesting conversation that he and I had.
Right.
Been thinking a lot about confidence, and as related to the last video that I did, and some of the videos that I've done lately, which I would say are more vulnerable and are not reflective of what you would imagine charisma on command is supposed to look like. Meaning, I'm up here, I'm not broken, but there's a tenderness and a vulnerability, I think, that comes through in some of the recent videos that I did. And I was thinking, you know, what is going on and why am I so still certain that that is actually an evolution in the right direction, even though it moves me farther from where I was, which was not exactly, but like closer to an Andrew Tate, who's like certain, and this is how things are. And like, you're sad about that girl. How long have you been sad? You got to change your mindset. And it's just like fucking constant confidence, constant, constant, constant. And my theory, as I've broken that down, is that people... And I think it's totally okay to do this. I love all of our videos that we've put up. I wouldn't take them down. I wouldn't stop selling CU. This is totally right for some people. A lot of self-improvement is about cultivating the parts of yourself that give you responses that you like and repressing the ones that don't. And it comes from a belief. The underlying thought belief structure about this is... change your thoughts, change who you are. Depression is an idea that can be, you know, thought through and changed. And when you are not conscious of something, it's gone. You know what I mean? Like if you're no longer feeling a lack of confidence, that is literally gone. And where I have moved, and I think that that's really valuable for a period of time and is a necessary step for myself and a lot of other people. What I am moving towards is a different theory of mind, which is, things that are not integrated. So tell me if this doesn't make sense, because I might have to step back.
Okay.
We have a lot of different parts of ourselves. We have a confident part. We have a part that self-sabotages. We have a part that, is jealous. We have all of these parts, and they do not simply go away when they are not in your consciousness. They exist in your unconsciousness, and they steer behaviors in ways that can seem twisted, but are actually very clear to me, having gone through it. So, not to pick on him, but Andrew Tate, super confident guy, wants to hang out with all these 19-year-old women. He's 36. You know what I mean? Like, talks about how young girls are so wonderful. To me, that is indicative of him not being connected to the parts of, like, to the mature feminine in himself. So he's not attracted to mature femininity because he's not there. Like, his femininity has been repressed, pushed down, beaten away in order to maintain this steady level of, like, discipline and confidence. And he's so attracted to young women, not because that's biologically what men are attracted to. Like, yes, young women can be beautiful, but to want to be around young 20s women in your 30s that much, like at that level, I'm sure that some are wonderful people, there's a lack of maturity that they often have that is difficult to stand. And this is the Dan Bilzerian thing. It's like, oh, wow, super cool to have all those girls on your plane. How do you stand having all those girls on your plane?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
So again, this isn't to say that they can't be good people, that they're all on their own journey, but like, there's indicators. Also, their consistent pursuit of more wealth constantly, you know, is another indicator that something hasn't been integrated.
Right.
And so anyway, I'll come back. But with Andrew Tate, this is, I still would like to talk to the guy. It doesn't make me dislike him. But what I see is that, in my distant opinion, he's out of touch with his own innocence. And so if you've heard him talk, he talks about how when you take women on these trips, you want women that haven't been there before. You know, you want someone who's the first time, it's amazing to them. And to me, that speaks to him being disconnected from his own sense of wonder and innocence, which is why he's so attracted to it in other people. And I think that the things that we often are attracted to in romantic partners are the parts of ourselves that we have not integrated. So when I started my current relationship and all of my relationships, was exceedingly attracted to extremely feminine women. And that came with a lot of the immature pieces of femininity, like really emotional, like just sucked into the moment, like could go to happy to sad. And like, even though I didn't like it, that was extremely compelling to me.
And are you saying that's a repressed part of your identity?
That is a repressed
identity?
Part of my psyche, is because I have not, I do not, for instance, so my current relationship, I would say one of the things that she has is a complete inability to be totally not competitive. She has no need to win, ever. And she can say and mean from the core of her soul, just a game, and move on. And I fucking can't.
Right.
Like, and that to me, it aggravates me about her. I love it about her. And that pull is because the way that I treat games, whether it's business or a video game, is like, I'm there to win.
Right.
And my inability to integrate that in myself has made it attractive in her, that she is so far to the other side. Here's the problem for me. And I've deviated from what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I'll come
go
back.
Go for it.
The problem for me is that because I haven't integrated that, you know, it's just a game sometimes to myself, you can just relax, I bring into my life her energy, which was like totally non-achievement based. She lacks the masculine part of herself.
Mm.
She lacks discipline. She lacks the ability to do things that she doesn't want to if it's not fun. She lacks that, like, fuck it, I'm going to grit my teeth and make this happen. And I think that's why she was drawn to me. And I would say what we are trying to do in our relationship is, instead of relying on one another to, like, be that valve, you know, she can be my femininity and I can be her masculinity, it's to cultivate more of those traits in myself and in herself. And as I do that, I notice that I am not as drawn to the childish femininity of her as I was when we started dating, which is actually, I think, very healthy. Like, I'm looking for a more adult partner consistently. And I think that as she grows and heals, the same is true of her. Like, she's less willing to tolerate my having to win all the time and not being able to just sit with emotions, hold space, always having to change them and solve a problem is becoming less, you know, less tolerable for her as she grows up. So I started this all, I forget where.
So this, I'll help you get back to where you started this all, talking about confidence.
Yes. So,
and saying, basically my question was, you mentioned smile for 8 seconds and you'll be happy.
Yes.
And that sort of confidence is sort of a repression at the gain of becoming another emotion for that second.
Yes.
But that repression is still going to be there. It's going to still, what, I don't know, drive the boat, drive the car.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yes. So that state change focus, that just change your thoughts focus, that you know, it's kind of Tony Robbins-y. Like, you have a bad state, like, change. You have a bad state, like, just change, push down, habituate yourself into a different state. That model works if you believe that things do not get pushed into the unconscious. I am of increasing belief that while that is a wonderful way to deal with a lot of aspects of life for a lot of time, it will create these Andrew Tate-style bubblings where you're incredibly successful, but there's these things that you can try to justify and explain, and they're not necessarily evil, but, like, he's not attracted to mature femininity. And that is going to be difficult for him to deal with for the rest of his life as he finds himself continually drawn towards young, beautiful, immature women.
Got it. So what about confidence?
So about confidence, I was sitting here and I was going, shit, I, you know.
Performed confidence?
No. 3-4 years ago, you go to most people, I looked way more confident than I did in the last podcast. I looked like constant, like I looked way more advanced and way more solid in myself because I had habituated charisma on command style confidence.
Gotcha.
And I just wanted to, I noticed that and I was thinking through and I was asking, have I backslid? And my belief is that I have not.
Gotcha. Okay. That's where it starts and ends.
That's it, is that I think that as you, I don't regret the way that I did it. I was unaware at the time of any like unconscious bubblings of lacking in confidence, but I see now clearly a lot of areas where I struggle to say no or hurt people's feelings, you know, things where I am have limited myself that I was totally unconscious of and had a million justifications for. And so like now, you know, this is a lot of areas of my business. I'm realizing, oh, these are personal. The reason that the businesses are where they are is because of who
you often are.
The leader is.
Yeah.
And the stuckness in some places of them, which is stuck at a wonderful place, is a reflection of that, is a reflection of my, I've mentioned before, inability to confidently bring love while letting go of like, this isn't the right role for you. And I've been tasked a couple times in the last few days with seeing that in the business. And I felt it with regards to what should I do? Should I not talk about established titles? And I think the right answer was like, have a conversation with Spencer first, be sincere and honest, and have what I said on this to the camera be reflective, not only of what I said to Spencer, but also of what I truly experience about the situation inside. So yeah.
The whole cast seems like you've tried to remain centered while external forces, like you said, the Discord messages, the Instagram, when you were logging on, that reactivity that's pulling you in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a...
That's a good point. Yeah, I think my solution of how to remain centered for the last 5 years was put yourself in a bubble of your own concocting that can stop these external pressures that you find so overwhelming. So like Instagram, too overwhelming, block it off. Yeah, like all of these things that are too overwhelming for you to remain centered in, stop. And I was able to remain essentialist, have a really like solid perspective on the world and life, do a lot of the family work that we did with MDMA and other things. And I think now it's kind of like the gym. It's like, okay, can I hold on to this centeredness while opening up to more distraction, more things that pull me in, like other things that would rip me out of that? And I think it's a good thing. So like whereas in the past I would have seen how many projects I have and gone, that's not essentialist. I'm trying to do essentialism at a higher level now. And yeah, it's a bit confused, but we'll see how it goes.
Got it.
Anything else that, did you have any other topic that was interesting? We could wrap it up.
No. Conversation is difficult for me. Don't have a lot going on. I can tell you about my dog and her day, but
perfect. All right, we'll wrap. I'm going to, we're trying something new on Patreon, which is we're going to do a selection of questions. The ones that I think a lot of the questions that we would get were just like very particular to someone's situation. And I want to focus on the questions instead where one, I can limit the amount that I take, but also ones where I have things that are apply to a broader audience and can help more than just one person in a very particular situation. I'm also going to toy around based on feedback from patrons with giving a bit more specifics about what I learned this week or I'm doing this week. And it's not going to be as refined. It might not be as in-depth, but I did write down a handful of things. I have to pull them up on my phone, but it's like literally the type of split test that we were running for charisma on command and some of the interesting things, what it was like hiring a 3D animator, weird things that I learned about that.
and some of the outreach that I did and future guests that we're looking at having and where my mind is with that. So if you're interested in that sort of stuff on Patreon, we would appreciate it if you joined us. Either way, appreciate you watching the cast, and we'll see you guys later. Peace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.